Hi everyone, it's your girl Chinwei, and welcome back to season 2, episode 5 of the Be Bold podcast. I can't believe we're already halfway through. Welcome back, guys. I want to start off by saying thank you guys so much for giving me feedback. Thank you guys so much for the kind words and texts, and for those of you who took the time to actually rate and review the podcast. I know someone asked me about rating the podcast on Spotify. I am not sure how to do that. I see the ratings on iTunes. So just a reminder that if you are enjoying these episodes, to share with a friend and also rate and review. Yay! Okay, so like I said, I have a really good season lined up. And how have you guys liked the guest? I've had 5 guests so far. I had Akuna Okiri for Black Mental Health Matters. I had Michaela Chapman and Joanne Ogbo for Trips on the Horizon. And then I had Lacelle Montrose, and I am now blanking out on Cynthia's last name. I'm blanking out. I'm sorry. I will put all their names in the description, but also go back and listen to those episodes. Remember, share with a friend if you're really enjoying everything that we're doing and we're talking about. So let's just get down to it. I have to get something off my chest real quick, and then we're going to move forward. I'm going to spend very little time talking about this, but every single day, I have a small, moment where I sit down and I'm completely quiet and I think to myself, this is really happening. Y'all, please stay prayed up. This country is being so poorly run by a man who just doesn't give a fuck about people. He just doesn't care. So The interview he did, I had to shake my head at it. I didn't think it was funny. I found none of it funny. The lack of leadership during this time, the amount of selfishness going on right now is real crazy to me. So, like I said, everyone, please stay prayed up. Make sure you're wearing your PPE. Make sure you're wearing your mask. Wear gloves if you have to. Wear a face shield if you have to. You know, make sure you're social distancing, or, you know, just staying within a small group of friends and not, you know, just running around. And then, you know, just making sure that we're all doing the right things to stay safe. That's all I'm going to say about that. Let's move forward. Okay, so I wanted to also... I want you guys to share how you guys are doing during this. You know, what's helping you get through this pandemic and protest time of 2020? I needed a minute because I needed a minute. But yeah, so what is helping you? Honestly, for me, what's helping me a lot is this podcast. What's helping me a lot is working out, staying fit. And I'm just not the person, it's taking me a lot to be able to stay home. And only because I like to always be outside. Not outside in the way of in the clubs and drinking, but I like to just be outside in the sun. My worst days during this pandemic have been when it's been raining. And I can't go outside and kind of enjoy the sun on my skin. So I've been just trying to find just ways to social distance and do things I want to do safely. And that's kind of been getting me through it. And otherwise, you know, I really haven't cared to party. I really haven't cared to do any of that stuff. But if you are, you know, just make sure you're being safe and stuff like that. Okay, so I think that was my catch up. Let's go into the bold review. For the bold review, I want to talk about the situation that's going on in Long Island. Right now, probably currently right now, there's a man and probably a couple other people sitting outside of a Black woman's home in efforts to protect her from her racist neighbors. Now, I have absolutely... that story... I've been really, really emotional this year. Let's talk about that. But that story was super emotional for me because there's always a lot of talk about how Black men can help protect Black women, right? And and I wouldn't even say this is like an extenuating circumstance, but this is like a way where it's like, physically, how can you protect Black women? This woman wrote on a 6-foot paper her story in Sharpie marker. It ended up going viral. A Black man who lives on Long Island saw and felt called to action to find a solution with his life, like with his body. And to me, that's just very noble of a cause. And so I kind of just wanted to give him a shout out. His name on Twitter and Instagram is Flow349. But let me get their names though. Okay, so the name of the woman is Jennifer McLegan. She's 39-year-old single mother in Valley Stream. She detailed the abuse she has endured since 2017 when she moved into her home, where she now lives in fear, according to a handwritten sign on the front door that she posted on Instagram. A part of what was written on that was, "My neighbors have been racially harassing me since I purchased my home. The sign reads, I have said that I can be erased." So I think that a lot of people already know about the story, but I wanted to bring light to it because what was happening to her was absolutely disgusting. They were throwing feces on her yard and calling the cops on her, saying that she's not picking up the feces, she does not have a dog. They were throwing that onto her yard. They were threatening her, telling her that they would kill her. She has videos of them getting guns ready outside of her house. And the police did not do anything. The police did not do, and they didn't care, and they weren't going to do anything. They didn't care, and they were not going to do anything. So he comes, he brings this kind of this story to light. He says, you know what? If no one's going to protect you, I'm going to come here every single night. I'm going to sit here, and I'm going to protect you from your racist neighbors. So fast forward a few weeks, and, you know, he's still staked out there. I think it may have been a full month that he's been out there, and it's brought a lot more light to it. I don't know his real name, but his name on social media is Flow349. Just to read his bio on Twitter, it's "Freedom lies only within," and then it's "My N-word, don't send me no..." Okay, I'm not even gonna read the rest of his bio, but whatever. Yeah, so he is from Queens, that's what it says on his Twitter, and he drives over there to sit in front of her house, and a lot of other minorities in the community have stepped up to do that with him, by bringing him food, donating him food. I remember the first time I saw the story, he had only been like randomly delivered one pie of pizza by someone, and the guy kept coming, and then out of nowhere people were like sending money to the Walmart for them to pick up stuff. Now her house is full of food, and her neighbors came and were like painting her guardrails, her lawn is mowed. People were like, it's amazing to see people come together like that, and almost so easily. And you know, it just takes one person to start it, right? Now look, a month later, and she's said, I've been able to sleep with so much peace. People are just coming by her house to give her well wishes and to give her like food. And I just think that it's a beautiful story. And I just want to, I implore men who are thinking of ways to protect Black women to be better to Black women in this whole new wave of just Black women. We're just tired. I saw a tweet the other day. It was like, I'm over the strong woman thing. I'm really tired. I'm not doing it. I really am just not doing it anymore. And so in with me not doing it, I'm not getting into arguments about it. And honestly, I don't even want to get into very long discussions about it. I just really, really do urge men who are feeling like they can be doing more for Black women, go out there and do the research yourself. You know, there are many books, many essays, and it doesn't even have to be that. Let's not even do that. There's many documentaries. There's many podcasts. There's music. All I'm just trying to say is there's a plethora of information out there for women to absorb to learn how to interact with other people. I think that it's time that, you know, men do some work and, you know, learn more about how they can interact with us. Right? I think we need to hold men to a higher standard. Like, I'm not trying to really discuss the whole 50 Cent thing. I'm really not. Like, that is such an age-old argument that is just so honestly elementary. And I'm not even going to entertain that. But like I said, there's so much information out there for women to absorb and to learn about other people. How about y'all absorb some information and learn how to interact with us and be better to us? So that was it for my bold review. Let's get into the thoughts of an introverted black girl segment. All right, welcome back everyone. I am joined with Talani, writer of the OG Midnight Snack blog. Welcome, Talani.
Hey, friends.
Thank you so much for joining me, y'all. This is like super last minute. Talani is mad dope for really committing to do this for me yesterday.
Always little sis. Y'all already know.
Yeah, I really, really do appreciate it. And so today I want to have a discussion with Talani just about, I think, the black girl magic that's been coming up the last few weeks from Netflix putting, you know, all those black sitcoms onto their platform, and then Black is King coming out. And I want to definitely highlight her blog, OG Midnight Snack.
Oh, thank you, sis.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, so tell us a little bit about your blog, you know, what made you want to start your blog, so things about that.
Okay, so Midnight Snack, I'll just even start just off of the name, mm-hmm. because I got called so many different things between dark, black, midnight was one of them. Okay. And meanwhile, I probably wasn't even the darkest person in the school at the time, which is what was just like, you know what I mean? Even something more that I questioned, because it was like, oh, so if I was even like, if I was even darker, was I even like going to get shoved over to the side or whatever the case might be?
Yeah.
So midnight, I had to just implement that. And then snack, because everybody started referring to themselves as a snack, like probably like 2014, 2016. And I was just looking at it like, look how funny it was that we were always a trend. You've literally been modeling your hair after us. You're trying to get lip injections. You're trying to fix your face. You're trying to get a booty. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But you initially made fun of something that you are literally now idolizing.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm basically just going to capitalize off of the ignorance that you had prior. And like, yeah. I get it. Everyone's kids and everybody's going to, you know, tease and make fun of. But like that type of thing and like the way that it was so embedded in my brain was just like, that was the first thing anybody was seeing when they looked at me. Mm-hmm. So, and it wasn't like a good judgment. It was almost like, oh, she's darker, mm-hmm. or she's pretty for a darker girl, or mm-hmm. whatever the case might be. So starting this whole blog, I really, really wanted to just kind of highlight black women, but more so the darker women in general that kind of get put on the back burner. We're not really put in the spotlight, even though our light shines the brightest. You're the one that literally, you know what I mean? Like, we'll be on your mood boards.
No, I do. I love that.
We'll be on your mood boards. And for me, I wanted to also collaborate with an organization. So initially, I was working with We Can Lead, because I had seen that they did some, like, Valentine's promotion with Idris Elba, which is actually how I found out about them in general.
Okay.
But they literally work with, like, a school that they have in Sierra Leone for African girls. That okay. is not only just a school, but they have like an empowerment program too, which I thought was just dope, because it's like you'll literally always be reminded that you're the shit, that you're bomb, you know what I mean? Yes, in this like pearls.
Yes, so, yes.
I remember like just contacting them, and I probably got this site up within a month. Okay. It was nothing, and I honestly didn't know how long it would take, didn't know really what I was doing, but ended up breaking up with someone, and do you feel that just gave that little kick to just literally kick up?
That was
probably the best, because I just saw so many people respecting it, but I feel like they were respecting it before I even was like I believed in it, you know what I mean? But it meant so much more to see other people believe in that shit too, and to still be asking about it to this day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, the site, it has, whether it's the merch, you know, whether, because if you're wearing merch, you're repping a Black girl, not to mention a part of those proceeds were going to We Can Lead.
Yeah.
And then there's the blog portion of the site where I'm pretty much highlighting, you know, Black writers, Black culture, Black art, pretty much anything that's like of pop culture and hot topic. Cause I'm all about like some good journalistic, yeah. I don't even know, I want to say some gossip really. You know, I was all about E! News when I was in high school. So.
Yeah, I was, that's funny that you said journalistic because that's how I met you in a journalism class in high school.
Yes, yes. And then I was trying to fake write on the paper doing the entertainment section. Yeah, I cannot tell you. Yeah. I wanted to do that so bad, but
no, I kind of, I still, I mean, that's kind of what your, that's what your blog is. It's, you know, you take a topic. It's such an important topic too. Like when you drop the blog, I really did fall in love with that. I was like, oh my God, we need this. This is perfect. We need to see Black women like in the face of something, right? I feel like every time things are tailored toward women, it's usually women of a lighter skin tone or white, and it's like, okay, you know, then where do Black women ever see themselves, right? And so it's super important that you started and you, that you're still doing and you're keeping up with it. And it's so funny that we're both doing some sort of journalistic type thing. We met in journalism class. I'm dead.
It was inevitable, and I knew it. Like, my uncle really only had me do marketing at school because he said that there was a way for me to, like, tie marketing, I mean, not marketing, journalism and the business aspect of everything together.
Yeah.
So that's why I was really with this shit to begin with. But, yeah, no. Girl, it's an art. It's literally just something. When you know how to talk to people or you feel like you have something to share, it's, like, inevitable.
Yeah. And then you test it out, and then you keep like going with it. Like one thing you mentioned was you started, but you didn't really know what you were doing at first. Right. And that's the same thing that I felt with the podcast. Like I started, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to obviously need to research more. I'm going to, okay, it's not where I want it to be. So I'm going to have to keep researching more and putting more effort into it, putting more time into it, more thought. And then it becomes like something that you really enjoy doing because, you know, you're finally able to get your point or your message across in the way you want to. And then people receive it.
Girl, absolutely. It's like just every little bit of progress, it matters.
Yeah.
And for the people that like really, really want something, every little, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Any little thing matters. Anything is like, oh, okay, this is a step in the better direction.
Exactly. Period. Even if you, even if you're like consistently posting once a week, just like thinking about social media, or if you're consistently doing something once a week, at least you're consistently doing it and you can build upon, you know, that.
Absolutely. Go on and preach it, sis.
Yeah, so you mentioned also that you started the blog because your entire experience growing up, you felt like your skin was the only thing people saw.
Yeah.
So can you just talk about that, maybe what your experiences were like when you were super young? Like maybe when you elementary school, sixth grade.
Yeah, it all actually really more so started in sixth grade, you know, when we all went to Central Six. And it was funny for me because I had gone to recreation camp with so many of these people. Nothing was ever a thing. Nobody ever brought anything up until it was like, you know what I mean? It was brought up by somebody else that was like the leader of the pack, you know, the person that like, you know, the clown or whatever the case might be that would make that person feel okay to come now and try to say some shit to me. And I don't know. For me, it was just, it was weird because they were my friends. And like when I'm also explaining this to other people, I wasn't being bullied by white people. I was being made fun of by my Black friends.
Yeah.
So like whether, and it would be anything, and it was nothing for me to be, I would have boyfriends in sixth grade. I would have whatever. I was, girl, the way I was trying to be ghetto in sixth grade, not going to gym class, but like, you know what I mean? I was just quote unquote grown.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody could really tell me shit, but it would be like a thing. Like, let's say I'd be dating this one guy and somebody would be like, oh, are you with Talani? It would almost be like a, I don't know if they would claim me type of thing. Okay. And for what reason early on, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Should I be feeling like that?
Yeah. Kids are like, I feel like at that age, everyone starts to like, no one knows what jokes really are. So they just make fun of like your being, You know, if you have like an accent, like your skin, they just pick at anything. And I just hate that it always has to be like, it's always something you can't change. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's why like there's like a hierarchy, and since you can't change it, they try to keep you at this low level of hierarchy, which doesn't even make any sense. Like I think a lot of my early experiences with like my skin color just being like a big topic has always had to do with my family, just because all my sisters are just like, they're fair skinned. No, not my family, not from my family, but like other people noticing that, you know, I might be the darker sister. And then they always I was like, geez, like I grew up with them. They always loved me. I've always loved them. Obviously, you know, the price they happen, but why are other people going out of their way? Like to point out.
So this has been something that's been embedded in people's brains, like from like our parents' time. Yeah. I remember like literally, because my mom is like caramel skin. Actually, yeah, pretty much her and all of her sisters. So bad example. My brother is caramel skin and I'm dark skin.
Yeah.
I feel like my brother might have more, or maybe he did have more confidence than I did at the time, obviously, because he wasn't really dealing with any of that. Like, if anything, it was like, okay, well, they need to find something else to pick at him for, but there really wasn't nothing. Meanwhile, like, I really was just, I was dark and I had a big forehead. Nobody even really came at the forehead thing, so I was really chilling. And I was always like, in retrospect, I should have really just been sitting there like, damn, the only thing you can come at is my skin tone.
Yeah,
which means I guess clearly I'm a baddie, because it would be like somebody that I'm literally, yo, I'm telling you, like, I don't want to put names out and stuff like that from my school, but wouldn't it make sense why I'm dating you, and then the next minute you are like around other people that are still our friends, and you trying to clown me, but you're dating me, is all I'm gonna leave that at, and that's like from a sixth grade on type of thing, so.
And I feel like that's kind of where men's like brains stop when it comes to like maturity, like that whole, oh, I'm gonna tell you on the side that I like you, but in front of my friends, I'm like, grow up. Like, I mean,
that too, because you're like, that's a whole line of respect and disrespect, and also having someone's back that you're not even.
There was this one, I wanted to share this one experience that I actually had with a younger person. And in my first job outside of college, post-college, I worked in a hospital. And I had like one of the clients or one of the patients, a dark-skinned girl. She was, I don't know, maybe a little darker than me. She had came up to me and she asked me if I like heard about like this certain lotion. Right. And I was just like, no, I never heard about this lotion. And then she showed it to me and she was like, it's a skin lightening lotion. And she was like, do you recommend it? Like, would you ever try it? And I was just like, no. And I my head kind of like went down first. I was disappointed that it's still like, it's coming to the point where someone's asking me about skin bleach. Like someone who's young, like an impressionable 16-year-old girl is asking because someone suggested that she use it and said that she'd be prettier if she was a little lighter. Like literally this whole thing happened. And I was just like so disappointed, didn't even know what to say really in the moment, besides like the first thing I said was, girl, I need you to delete that off your phone. We're not gonna even talk about that. We're gonna move forward. You're not gonna get skin bleaching lotion. And then I had to take her to the side and kind of have a different talk with her. And then, that whole situation just like made my skin crawl though. Cause I just like, I know what my experience was when I was younger with it. The fact that now I'm 21, 22 years old and they're still, still dealing with the same stuff. It's like really disappointing.
Got you a little shook. I know exactly what you mean. And that was more so, that's, you know what I mean? So I feel like even you having this platform too will help anybody that you might not even know is dealing with something similarly like that too. In the same way that like, I'm hoping Midnight Snack is literally a reminder for dark skin girls to remind themselves like, you're the baddest. You are a queen. You are the light. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Shit.
That was definitely my purpose when I like when I started this, because even I call it a woman's like health and wellness podcast, but mm-hmm. I want Black women, dark-skinned women to also be like the face of it, because right. it's like it seems like, you know, because even now people are using the word luxury a lot, or like it seems like wellness is not a thing that is afforded to Black women, and especially dark-skinned Black women. You know, I feel like we're always like the whole strong Black women thing is like so put upon us. We're supposed to always take all. We're supposed to take
it's expected.
All.
The yeah, it's so expected crazy.
Like, all the time. and it's actually super exhausting where we kind of do need wellness. Like that needs to be a priority of ours, but we're not really okay. in the same way. So yes, yeah, so that's why I wanted to do like a collab like this and be able to talk about it and to like let people know like it's okay to have been emotional over, you know, the brown skin girls video. It's okay to like not be or to kind of feel indifferent about like colorism because you've experienced it your whole life. You don't know if it's going to change and stuff like that. Because think about it, the people who are able to reach, you know, we're going to be able to reach more people and multiple people, you know, in months and years to come. But like even the people who we reach have a certain privilege to even be able to access a phone, to access our stuff. You know what I'm saying? To hear these words. So people who are, you know, maybe of a lower socioeconomic status, or, you know, might not be able to, or doesn't care to listen to a podcast or doesn't care to look at a blog, might never know or might never hear that voice.
Oh, no, 100%.
Yeah.
I feel like everything now is so, so worth it. And it needs to be shared because someone's going to resonate with it.
Yeah, no, exactly. No, someone's definitely going to resonate with it. So I wanted to know some what were some images, maybe TV shows, movies, even writers, images that you saw when you were maybe adolescent age that made you feel like positive or negative about your skin tone?
Okay, so this one's more so major for me because I watch so much TV. I watch so much TV. So like, on my grand spectrum, you will catch me on a Saturday watching Moesha at like 8 till 12. And then I'll watch Beverly Hills 90210 from 1 to, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but I also noticed how in those shows, there were never really Black people in them. And there were so many more shows like 90210 than there were like Moesha.
Yes.
And I also noticed, funny enough, most of the shows with Black actors in them are comedies.
Yeah.
Comedies that are uplifting. Mm-hmm. Not even just the old ones like Girlfriends. I'm talking like even, I just peeped, I didn't know about the Carmichael show on Hulu. You got to check that out, sis.
Okay.
But there's just, you know what I mean? Yeah, no. And it's so funny, but it's actually also so relevant in terms of, I think it must have been being filmed when the first election was happening and everybody started voting for Trump.
Yeah.
So relevant. But, and that's another thing too. I don't know. I think in terms of seeing Black people on TV, the best thing that I can say in terms of the evolution of it mm-hmm. is that we've shown ourselves in more of a positive light, but like not just a positive light, an intellectual light. Like, yeah. We're just multifaceted. Like, it's not just about the comedy part. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's super important, too. When I was younger, I watched, like, a lot of Mary-Kate and Ashley. Did you have those
VHS? Oh, my God. Yeah.
And it was just a lot of them. It was a lot of Mary-Kate and Ashley.
Lizzie McGuire.
Exactly. I remember those songs. I know those Mary Kate and Ashley songs like practice. I have all the freaking
yeah. No, what did I watch? I watched Passport to Paris the other day. So they got some of them
you
on
did
Hulu.
It was nostalgic.
Was hype. I can't even tell you. But
yeah.
It's also just like, you know what I mean? Even in those, their friends, I rarely ever saw a Black person too.
No Black friends. None.
I read all the books. I did all of this and that. And like, for me, it's funny that you even bring that up because I've been telling Clarissa and my other homie, Andre, I'm like, we should come up with a Black Gossip Girl.
Okay.
Like, Clarissa and I literally still watch Gossip Girl till this day on Netflix. Like, I didn't read all those damn books. I literally read all the books before the show came on.
Yeah.
And you understand, like, you're watching a show, all of those people are white. The majority, like, probably the most that they reached was, like, having someone Hispanic.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm sorry. They had a black girl, but that was probably, like, four seasons in. And they had Tika Sumpter come on, and she was dating, like, Chuck Bass, and then she was dating Nate.
Yeah, they make it so, like, blatant when they're trying to, like, add diversity. Add it's crazy. So it's, like, even seeing all those images and not even being able to place yourself. And you need to make a Black Gossip Girl, because that's people's lives. That is people's lives. It just doesn't get told like that. It doesn't, like, people literally erase Black people from anything that seems, like, prestigious.
If the writing would come to, like, that shit would be so lit and so funny. Because we already, like, when I tell you, have you seen Gossip Girl? You've watched it.
Yeah, I've watched it.
Girl, like, you know how when she'll pop up and she'll just, like, say something sly before they go to commercial just to have a bitch dying? Imagine a Black Gossip Girl petty. Oh my gosh.
I feel like when Black people do anything, it's just always a little bit better.
Yes. Oh my goodness. A little sasson.
A little sasson.
Like, I saw you guys at the deli to put on my cheesesteak. Hello? Just be honest.
Was that, did they have to cancel that guy? That wasn't the sasson, was the Goya guy.
I don't know.
Damn.
Was it? Damn, now I'm thinking about it. I'm like, was it? But when I really say sasson, you know what I'm saying? Gotta put a little black pepper, a little salt, maybe a little oregano. Just make a little something.
A little something. Yeah. Yeah. It's just always a little bit better.
I've been cooking since quarantine, so I'm literally always thinking about putting all these spices together.
You said, I'm sorry, the last part cut out a little bit.
Oh, no, you're fine. No, I was just going to say, like, I've been cooking during quarantine, so pretty much anything that I, like, wanted to go eat from a restaurant that was closed, I would make it.
Okay.
And I would also make it with more flavor because, you know, we got that little, I don't even know what to call it. I got a little chef's kiss here. I'm doing that, and you can't even see me.
I'm dead. You know what? It's crazy. It's funny that you just said that because I forgot that in the beginning of this, I didn't ask you how you were doing with the COVID thing. All right, girl. So how have you been doing during this COVID? How have you been doing since the pandemic and all the protests?
So I was super, super exhausted. Like, of course, overwhelmed initially and then just immediately exhausted because thinking about all of these people and the police brutality, and I'm so heavy on Instagram. I'm literally scrolling and watching and looking at it. I'm, like, consuming so much of it at this point that it's, like, it's not healthy.
Yeah.
So, like, took a few days, like, relaxed, went out with my homegirl. We did go protest, walked on.
Okay.
So she was saying we could walk on Brooklyn Bridge, but I didn't eat, and I also didn't drink water. So I was just concerned because I've fainted before. So I literally walked to the bridge with her and, like, called it a day. And it was, you know, it's hot. It's hot AF out here. So I just needed to go and, like, chant and get that aggression out for, like, I remember writing this whole story about, like, the whole George Floyd thing because at the time I was talking about how I value, like, this guy in my life. I value my brother. I value my father so much. Like, these are people I'm so close to, or, like, my best guy friends. They're probably, like, the people I feel closest to that I can trust. It could have been any of them. That type of thing. And of course I was definitely out there with a mask and all, but between just the protests, I'm glad that I've seen consistency. I want to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I can't be out on the street every day, I feel like it's something to be commended. It's something respectable. And I feel like we're being seen because we dead walking through the street. I was like my friend Tamara was explaining it to me, and she was like, no, we're walking through the street so that basically these people that are driving, that are stuck in traffic right now, are going to call town hall, complain, and then eventually, what are they complaining about? What needs to be fixed? Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
I've just been trying to actually cope in terms of I'm writing more letters to God. Like, I really did try the yoga thing. One of my best friends, he's like a yoga certified teacher and everything. I'm just, that shit is exhausting. I'm like, where's the peace? I'm out of breath. Yeah, that funny. I don't know. I've literally tried to find so many new different ways to, for me, it's not like I want to be mentally indestructible or anything like that, but I definitely, it's more than an unbothered thing.
Yeah.
Kind of like I genuinely know in my heart of hearts, I know what I know, and I'm not trying to entertain what anybody else thinks.
Exactly.
Because they don't, you know what I mean? So exactly. I've been on that kick since this whole thing started, because everything in my life was distracting me from that up until that point. So it was like, kind of like, okay, bitch, we're going to face this head on now. We have no choice. Yeah. We get inside. So at the time, did what I had to do. I just like need to make sure that I'm consistent and like keeping my word with myself. I'm really just kind of working on me. But like when I say working on me, like healing from all of this past stuff, mm-hmm. which includes like, you know what I mean? Like thinking back to being in first grade and like people are making fun of me for like my skin, or I don't even know. Like they really were not making fun of me for anything else, but you get what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, no, I can understand.
All of those things, they like might have subconsciously stuck with me so heavy that like, I might come off abrasive. I might come off mad. I might come off aggressive. I just don't know because I'm stuck in this bubble that I never broke out of, because I never acknowledged that I was even in one. Period.
Exactly. And I think that's because we talk about the strong Black woman thing, how you're expected to always be strong. So
yeah,
if you're expected to always be strong and you're just never having dealt with how, you know, that situation in the first grade even affected you, you're just going to always have like almost like a trauma response. Mm-hmm. You're going to, whenever you are put into a situation where, you know, that almost even a semblance of that same feeling comes up, you know, that's what it might seem like, you're aggressive or something like that. But, you know, it's good that you're taking the time to, like, heal from all that, write letters and stuff. I haven't been consistently writing. Like, I should have been journaling more. I think journaling more would have helped me, but I think these last 2 weeks I've been, like, almost like my horse blinders are on. I just have to get to Friday. I'm not even journaling right now.
So
I did follow your friend's yoga page. Yoga is hard. I'm doing my own beginner's yoga.
Oh my God. It's so funny to me too, because like there's so many people around me that are so into it, and I just, it's a workout. That is not, I'm like, where's the relaxing part? Because the only part for me was probably the downward dog, because I was actually on the ground.
Yeah. I love the end when you just lay there. That's the best part.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to try the meditating thing. My homegirl, like, she also does that. She actually just sent me one, like, for anxiety, just because I feel that a lot of the time, or, like, maybe I'm feeling my intuition, but I'm not really trusting myself.
Yeah.
And it's just...
Even, like, a time like this.
Yeah, like, you're just always combating whatever the fuck is going on in your mind. So,
I actually want to get your opinion. What's your opinion on Black men asking Black women how to be better, how to treat them better, how to protect them? What's your opinion on that?
I mean, I applaud it. The only way to know how somebody wants to be treated is by communicating. So what better way than actually, like, I'd rather you do that than just say some BS like, oh, I prefer white girls because, you know what I mean? This one Black girl I dated had, or these few Black girls I dated had an attitude. Well, did you actually get to know why you might have felt like they had an attitude? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or everybody is always going through something. You just never actually know. And you never also will know what somebody wants unless they also communicate it to you. You can't just be pulling words out of someone, but I do get like trying to gain more insight. That's like the only smart thing I feel like they've been doing, rather than just disregarding us, because that's typically how it goes. Now all of a sudden they want to know how to treat us well. But you've been treating everybody else well. Every other race. You've been treating them like gold. And for some reason you're looking at us and we same skin tone as you, and like all of a sudden now you confused. Or like, Yeah. So, and if that's the case and you're really confused, then like there are demons that you might need to be, that you might need to like battle so that you could like see what's in front of you and see things for what they really are. For real, for real.
No, that is so freaking true, because I was thinking, like, I feel like sometimes Black men should take more accountability when it comes to like learning about the Black woman's experience. Cause a lot of times, like when these topics come up, it's like Black men like ask these like really bland questions of, oh, Black women, how are you oppressed? How are you this? How are you that? I'm like, I can spend a million years explaining to you how, you know, the slavery and discrimination, all stuff has made me the most disrespected person on this planet. You know what I'm saying? But I feel like there's just so much more information out there for men to like go and grab and then join the conversation when it comes to just us just being one as a race, us just being together. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Like asking that, like you were saying, I just feel like it's great because you're letting us know that you see us.
You see us, yeah.
And for so long, but kind of just like, people will literally try to do any and everything to disregard or like highlight the lighter skin or the fairer skin people. And I don't know, man.
Yeah, you know what? I actually had like an old, not even a friend, but this old person I knew. And it made me so uncomfortable how much he enjoyed talking up light-skinned women in front of me. You know what I'm saying?
Really?
Yeah, it was really annoying. Like, I just couldn't, like, I had to, like, end that. I couldn't really be close to that person anymore. But it just really like, rubbed me the wrong way.
Of course, because it's almost like a trigger at this point.
Yeah, I'm just like, even if you don't want to date me, yes, I'm just your friend, but you shouldn't feel comfortable, you know, separating two skin tones and making one clearly seem like it's better while, you know, you completely disregard the other one or make comments that show that you don't really care, you know, for how another Black woman is feeling or how, I had someone said to my face one time, he's never seen a pretty African girl. I was like, what?
That's really concerning that you say, like, they say things, I'm like, that's actually concerning.
I'm like, you said that blatantly out of your mouth. Right. And it's like, you know that the guys that are for everybody as well. Yeah, exactly. Those definitely are those guys. Did you see that video that was on Instagram today?
Say it again?
Did you see that Instagram, that video that was on Instagram today?
I don't think so.
There was some video on Instagram. I guess this Black girl was trying to take a picture in the street. And I get a white man or a Latino man started recording her. And she asked him to stop recording her. And a Black man stepped in and just started yelling at her. And was like calling her a bitch. Calling her a bitch and saying that, oh, you don't even, you're not even all that. Why can't he record you? Like very, very, very strange thing to be even very mad about because you weren't even in the argument. But then he continues on to say that's why Black men go to white women. He said that multiple times, like very angrily. Very angrily. You didn't see this video?
No. I mean, granted, I've literally,
Even
my me out on the floor today, sis. Tired as fuck, but
I'm dead. Yeah, so that's like a strange thing. It always like bothers me when people feel like they have to go out of their way to make you feel like you're less than. You know. All right, so I actually want to take the rest of this episode to kind of highlight the positive, like figures that we saw in the media or we see now who kind of just bring a positive light to Black women who kind of just like exude luxury, who exude confidence in their, you know, their dark skin and how that may have impacted you.
Absolutely. Okay. So where to freaking begin? I mean, well, we already love FLOTUS.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do.
We love her. But there's, I'm thinking the word scandal and I'm thinking Livia Pope and I'm forgetting what her actual name is. Kerry Washington.
Kerry Washington.
Between her between Tracy Ellis Ross.
Yeah.
Damn, I'm like trying to think because those are the ones like when they speak, I'm also like listening.
Yeah.
Obviously Tika Sumter, but I've just loved her. I loved her because she's like the first dark-skinned and beautiful actress that I've seen that she just like, when I saw her in One Thing, then I just started seeing her in mad other shit. And I was like, okay. And all of a sudden she's on the haves and the have nots. Now all of a sudden she's on Mixed Dish. You feel me? Yeah. So
absolutely.
Pick up. But, I know I like Amanda Seales. The only problem is like a lot of media stuff is very biased. And luckily they taught us that at school, but like it becomes a problem now when like you're just consuming it and you really don't know if it's true or not.
Exactly.
Like she had, and this is not to like not make light of her because she's a beautiful person. I feel like she definitely highlights injustice in our community tenfold. Yeah. And she, you know what I mean, got some money to help and back it up too. So whatever. But she had posted this video explaining how this woman, this like African woman that's a doctor, got on the podium and this broadcasting network that was recording the video broadcasted it, that was putting it out to the world, was a like anti-black type of company, whatever.
Yeah, I remember that video.
Yeah. And so tell me why, right? I'm talking to my friend, he reads a lot and he knows about black everything. Mm-hmm. He was like, that nurse, even though she was stuttering, she was actually telling the truth. Okay. And you know what I mean? But it's just funny that he said that. And I just was listening to him. You know what I mean? It's not to say like, oh, now believed him or whatever the case might be.
Yeah.
But it's just funny that he was so set on this whole, like, I really watch the news all the time. I read all the time. I know what this is. Even though sis here was Amanda Seales thinking she was so confident as well. You feel me? So
yeah, it's like we don't even know what to trust. We're in a very weird time right now.
No, yeah. So that's why, I mean, she's a good one, but maybe not to highlight within this situation just because she's such a journalist and she also isn't even on The Real anymore. You know when people like leave something that they were like working on and they go rogue and they just feel like they could just, you know, speak out and say whatever. I feel like she's definitely on that type of timing too. But she has the platform to do it. It makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at the same time.
Yeah, I like her podcast a lot. She's a great podcast.
Yeah, no, she... That girl funny.
Yeah, she is funny.
It's just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Me, if I'm delivering something, I want it to be 100% the fact, not to digress.
Okay. Yeah. One influencer that I really like is Jackie Aina. I think Jackie Aina is so dope. I feel like she uses her platform in the perfect way. And especially in the way, in the era she came up with, she came up on YouTube, obviously. And she like literally joined YouTube when there was no other black faces. Like,
really?
It was probably her. She came up with Patricia Bright.
Patricia Bright, yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, Peak Meal. I think the one girl's name is Jennifer. Like, kind of when all those Nigerian female YouTubers were starting.
Yeah.
But it was like a huge wave of them, and like Jackie Aina and those ones I mentioned, like really stuck up to me. So I would say Patricia Bright and Peak Mill too, because I was big on YouTube. Like you said, you watch TV. I love my ass on YouTube when I was in eighth grade. But and at first, when I first started watching YouTube, I was really watching all these white girls, right. Girls, because that's all you had. And I was like, okay, so I put the weave in, then I can just straighten it the way they straighten it, because that's all I can do.
I'm crying.
No, that's literally how. That's literally what I had to do. But then the natural hair YouTubers started coming up, and it just started to be more people started to just have to make a space for black people on that platform, because there was none. And I think she, like, I love how successful she's become and how she used her platform to, you know, like, to ride for dark-skinned black women.
Oh wait, it froze a second. Say that part again.
No, I said I like how she like uses her I love how she uses her platform and she goes hard for black women and dark skinned women.
We just need so much of it. It's so crazy.
Yeah, and it's so crazy.
We won't admit to it, but
why do you say you don't? We won't admit to it.
Because a lot of the time we do want to be strong. Okay. Like I, yeah. When I am hearing something that I need to hear, that it's literally almost like God put this person there to speak on it. Mm-hmm. I'm almost just like dumbfounded. I'm like, wow, and I almost forget that I needed it.
Yeah.
Crazy, because I start literally telling myself this, and that's the thing. I'm really like, I think next, and like I definitely got super super inspired by G Herbo and like doing that whole this whole therapy thing. Mm-hmm. We need that for Black girls.
Yeah,
we definitely. Shit, I want one. I need it now. You know what I mean? It's like I need it right now.
No, I don't know if you listened to the other episode I was talking about. I do go to therapy. So I go to therapy, and my therapist, she's a Black woman, and the office that the office that she's in is all Black women too.
So, oh my God.
I loved that when I got her. Thank God she was.
Chinwe says, well, what? Because I'm gonna have to proceeds could go to them as well.
Yeah, okay,
To fund more Black therapist women. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Yeah, no, I'll send you the info because I actually had an idea. So when you said you had an idea, I'll share it with you probably through text. But I highly recommend, especially because what we see in on.
Oops. Yeah, I'm here.
All right, it went off. Yeah, because of everything that we see and everything that we feel and we experience, but because like you said, women want to be strong. Being strong has gotten it done, I think. You know what I'm saying? Like strong has been, we've been able to accomplish all of our goals. We've been able to reach success, you know, explore new things. But I think that it was time for us to kind of just take off that hat and, you know, accept that we do need help. Accept that, you know, it's okay to ask people for help. Maybe if you're not interested in going to therapy, but you might be interested in, you know, talking or having more transparent conversations with your friends. You know what I'm saying? About the things that you guys go through. Yeah. So yeah, definitely. Let's talk about that, and we can give some more information on that. But let's get into Black is King. Let's get into Black is King.
When I tell you,
did you stay up late? Did you stay up late to watch it?
Yeah, because my homegirl was pressing me. So I'm a different story than everybody else in terms of like Beyonce right now. The last time I was really on Beyonce was that whole visual album with Beyonce.
You feel me? I was thinking about that one. Yeah, I was thinking about that one too. Yeah.
Right. And so after that was when Lemonade came and everything. And then when I tell you, like, I don't know what it was, but nothing about Lemonade, like, intrigued me to make me want to watch it. But I was literally listening to the 444 album. That's how I found out he cheated on her and stuff. You know, so coming, and I also didn't even, like, I saw Lion King, but not, like, you know what I mean? It wasn't, like, a pressing thing for me.
So this,
like, really, really, really took the cake. I respected her off of having all of these Afrobeats artist in that shit, paying homage with different looks. Like, even though people were trying to, you know, speak negatively and everything like that, I just feel like people are always going to do that. Like, I'll try to say she was trying to depict this, and she was really just trying to pay respect to, like, old heritage.
To what exactly exists. I thought it was so weird that people were trying to talk bad about it. I thought that was strange.
I was actually a little shocked, but at the same time, I always like remember this one little story. Like, people are always going to have something to say.
Yeah.
So it was like, you could try to throw stones just like they did pretty much everything else, and he still kills, still making money. Hello.
Yeah.
But no, this whole thing between, and I just also want to like highlight certain songs, like Already.
Yeah.
Food Forever, Water.
I literally
listen to these songs every day now to literally. Oh, and I'm sorry, Keys to the Kingdom.
Keys
to the Kingdom. The way it hit my soul, I really have to listen to that every day. And it might even put me in my feelings. So it's not like a upbeat song. Mm-hmm. But all of those lyrics are so factual for women like us. The sun and the moon rises for you. Like,
exactly. For us.
What is
it? I loved every single moment of the visual album from like when it came on, because every single face was a dark skinned face.
Yes.
Men, children, women, it was a whole dark skinned face. So now I'm looking at this, I was like, this is so beautiful. This is so beautiful. And this is 2 seconds, and I was just like super, super shocked about it. And then I hated that people were trying to call it appropriation, because what I think appropriation is lazy, right? I think appropriation is probably if she, you know, had a bunch of maybe like Black Americans doing these dances and, you know, didn't highlight the African artist. But she did her research. I feel like she did her research. She came with different languages, not only, and it wasn't even only African countries. There was an Asian country were depicted in there. Jamaica, the swimming scene in Mood Forever. I think that was the Jamaican acro team, synchro team, swimming in the pool. Yeah, so she did her research and she looked up everything, I think, to try to be as accurate as possible. And the whole thing felt like a celebration to me.
Yo, it. Oh my God. It just made me feel so special. I don't really know how to explain it, but it was just like, baby, remember who you are. Exactly. And your loyalty. And like, even though like from the time that everybody's been seeing Africans on the news and everyone's like, the way that American culture depicts Africa is not really how it is, because they are living like royalty over there. They got chefs, they got maids, they got all of that. Yeah. And that's not just in Nigeria, that's like all over. So.
Exactly. And in so many different countries in Africa, because people try to lump up Africa so much. And I like how she was showing different cultures, you can kind of, if you're familiar with different African cultures, you can probably tell which one she was depicting in each of the scenes.
Sure.
Yeah, so it's just like, it was even that, because I got to see a little bit of you know, things I don't focus on, and then I got to recognize, you know, where my culture was in a part of it, you know? Yeah, so, and then trying to pick it out. So I just don't even want to entertain all, like, the whole appropriation thing. I think that she did her thing. With the people were saying, like, what budget? Because I don't know how you get money to not only pay all those people, all the outfits, all the hairstyles, all the choreography that probably had to be learned just to...
I'm saying, though, and that was the thing. Like, she made sure she had those dances down packed.
Yes.
And already, so when she was like, King already, you know it. Shine already. Yo, I can't tell you. I was like, eat it, sis. Eat that. That was lit. I can't tell you.
No, it was... There was definitely practicing for hours and hours. I don't even know how... They said it was done like 8 months ago, I think. So probably right before this COVID thing happened. But
And the fact that it took her that long to put it together shows she didn't try to rush it. She literally respected this shit wholeheartedly. I'm not even trying to hear anybody talking like bad on her about that. So
yeah. Even I think my favorite song was Don't Jealous Me. And they had the girl, she was dancing in the pink. I don't know.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Huh?
I'm trying to like visualize.
Okay, so this is Don't Jealous Me. She's wearing a pink like flapper dress and she's like going in. Like sis is like dancing.
Yes,
with the bun and the dark skin. And I looked, that was the first time I kind of got chills when she came onto the screen, because she was not no size two. She was up, she was moving and she was going in, and I was like, what? And I started to get chills throughout the whole thing. That's when I started to kind of dance along with it, because I was just like, this is really a celebration of all these different cultures and putting it together and seeing us in that way. And then I think they move in. I'm not sure what song is right after Don't Jealous Me. Oh, the Burna Boy song.
Yes. And that was cute too.
Yeah. I didn't know what Burna Boy was. There was some, I was thinking in my head, maybe this was more supposed to be focused on women, because Burna Boy wasn't in it, and neither was Kendrick Lamar. And Childish Gambino. Like, they weren't...
Pharrell, you're right. So I almost want to know what hand they did have in it. You're right.
Yeah. So there were some people who were like missing, but they did have Pharrell and they did have WizKid. So maybe there was like probably timing issues and stuff like that. But I was just like wondering why those certain people weren't in it. I don't even know who. I want to just applaud the person who did the outfits. Whoever did the outfits for each of these scenes, for each dancer, Beyonce, gotta just take some time out.
I'm crying. Yeah.
Visuals were absolutely everything.
Girl. Okay. Oh my gosh. I might have to watch that again. But no, I've literally been listening to like just a few of those in the mix with the rest of my like Afrobeats. And yeah. Like,
yeah.
Especially Water with Salacial and Pharrell.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Pharrell did a good job, too.
Oh, Pharrell did a good job. So good. Reminded me of why I had a crush on him in fifth grade.
Yes. He still looks good. And he still looks good.
Oh, yeah. I cannot.
Yeah. So he still looks super good. And that was great to see. Getting into Brown Skin Girls.
Yes.
Did you get emotional at all listening to it?
I did, but like in the same way that I got emotional about Keys to the Kingdom.
Okay.
Because yeah. It's things that I like, I am human and I do forget sometimes. Yeah. I just feel like a lot more of the time I'm around people that don't forget their value. And I'm looking at them and I'm like, oh, you're better than me, but are you really? Like, I could definitely be right there with you.
Yeah. Weird. You have to talk to yourself kind of to get yourself back to that point, you know?
Oh, for sure. It was funny. I don't know. So Maya posted on her story something about how like she puts like some of the like affirmations and memes as her backgrounds and stuff, and I messaged her. I was like, same, sis. I actually just had the idea to go and get some of them blown up, like, you know, you can get them blown up on a bigger poster paper, and like I'm right by a Walgreens and stuff, so I'm like, hello Walgreens, CVS, do what we gotta do. But no, it's like you need that. I was thinking about literally, you know how girls got dramatic in the movies, writing on the mirrors and stuff, but I don't want to actually like mess up.
Yeah. No, it's funny. I'm not sure if you did a vision board, but this year I like sat down and like took so much time to do a vision board. I spent my whole like day on it. And I was looking at it yesterday and I was just like, thank God I did it the way I did it. Because even though like not in like the biggest sense, like this is not a good year, but a lot of the stuff on my vision board did come true. Like, yeah, so I was thinking like, okay, so that was good that I like wrote out things like in the way I wanted them to happen, even down to like a picture I took that like symbolized or looked like the one on my vision board,
right?
It was kind of like similar, so I'm like, okay, at least I'm like, you know, writing things down and having it in front of your face kind of keeps reminding you without you knowing it's reminding you. Yeah, and then seeing like visuals like Brown Skin Girls, like,
did you cry?
Yeah, girl, I cried. I'm sensitive and I cried. I didn't even expect to cry though, because I saw people say that they cried. I was like, why are you crying at a music video? But then I was just like, the whole I think like even the screen looked a little bit softer. The whole visual looked a little bit softer, and they just had. From Lupita to Naomi to Kelly, everything.
I'm thinking everything. Like, what? Ellie Rowland, we love her.
Yeah. So, and I love the way that she just like she made everybody who was part of these songs feel super involved throughout, like, or was super involved throughout each music video. And Naomi, what, black girl model icon. Lupita, black woman. Actress icon. Kelly Rowland, you know, her best friend, singer icon, stuff like that. So it was great to see her take like a huge portion of the visual and put a lot of time into making sure that black women not only looked beautiful, elegant, and soft, but also looked like they were embracing each other in like unity instead of like fighting each other for spots, you know?
Literally like queens.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I just loved every minute of it. I can't take it. And, oh, girl. Not to get back to mood forever. But what? The way that song gets me hype, it actually doesn't make sense.
Yeah. I was listening to it again because I actually, like you, I was listening to the album today. And again, I was like, wow, this was really good. This was a really good album. Like, musically wise, I'm watching, the visuals are amazing. I'm just like thinking in my head, well, I can't watch it while I'm driving, so I have to listen to the music.
You funny as hell.
I can't watch it while I'm driving. Like, let me just keep listening to it. But all the songs, I think she just did like a really good job. And I really like want people to sit down and watch this visual with like other brown skin girls in their life and like young people that they know.
Or even like, you let the fathers sit their daughters down too, because even Jay-Z saying, you hear that? That's the sound of the price going up. Yeah. Every little bit of what they said was feeding my like soul. I care.
Yeah. The visual album, obviously the whole point of it was to bring the lyrics to life. And I even heard more of the lyrics when I was listening to like, while watching the visual albums. I was like, I don't know. Clap it up again. I just thought it was beautiful.
Heavenly.
Yeah. So what are some things that you have planned for OG Midnight Snack in the future?
So right now, well, I guess, yeah, you did say the future. I really, really want to kick up in terms of merch. I've been working on like speaking with different vendors, working on different websites, like getting my graphic design up. Because I really, really want to have something that is really going to benefit people that look like me, that might look at me like an inspiration because I've accomplished whatever I have up until this point.
Yeah.
I really like, the goal is to really inspire, but also like, girl, I could be doing exactly what, or like Jay-Z talking about he's partnering up with LIU to create a school in Brooklyn for black, like, you know what I'm saying? I could literally and very well, like, that whole therapy thing, like, we really got to chat about that, but
yeah,
I'm not going to hold you. I was going to say it's already been heavy on my mind, but I really want to kind of steer Midnight Snack towards that. It's more of like a healing thing and a reminder that you are the baddest, like, trying to think, oh yeah, what I was saying, that in terms of like the slogan for Midnight Snack, it was like a website and small apparel line guaranteed to bring out the inner snack in every black girl. Now the inner snack is like what makes you a baddie.
Yeah. Yes, I love
that's really
perfect. This is perfect. I really do love it.
Girl, yeah.
Because it's even like
to do better, and people already support it, so it's just only going to grow at this point.
Exactly. Just keep watering it, and it literally will grow. I cannot wait to see what you have.
Thanks, sister. And I'm proud of you with this little podcast. Hello? I don't even know how to do this. So.
Thank you, girl. I will time a little, do a little research. Yeah, so, and honestly, the biggest like point of this is to kind of share stories of other Black women and kind of like promote collaboration and community in this realm. Yep. For me, it's more focused on Black women. That's what it is for me. Huh. Yeah.
And the focus, I just feel like the focus needs to be on us. Mm-hmm. Because.
And we need to really prioritize
ourselves. Or it wasn't a negative light, that it's like, stop playing with us. Seriously. Stop.
We're done.
Like,
no, yeah. I'm
old, baby. And like, at this point, we're going to have to fly away. Like, you will see no more of me. If you're gonna keep trying to play,
yeah, no, I think that
with my Mexican family sipping tequila and
having. No, you're not gonna be with a Mexican family. I'm done with you.
I'm 25% Mexican. I claim it in the name of Jesus.
Well, thank you so much. I really have to thank Karani so much for joining me today. It was last minute, but I'm so thankful that she was able to come and do this with me. It was literally everything I needed.
Girl, thank you for having me. This was actually a blast. And I didn't even... What? Just a whole kiki.
Yes, it was. It was exactly how I wanted it to be. It really is.